word. And it's so true, Lord. Everything we need is found in the word of God, if not in a direct command, a principle that you've given to us. I'm asking, Lord, that you lead with thy Holy Spirit in the service. I pray that you'd help folks. It's not a pleasant subject to talk about. There are a lot of people who would feel very embarrassed if people knew they suffered depression, but it does happen. And we find it in the word of God, and David suffered it, and other great men of God, and went through this bout with depression. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd help us today as we look at the word of God and consider what the Bible says about this subject. And I pray that you give victory to people in this matter, and I pray you be glorified. Now lead us. We need your help this afternoon, your presence and your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And before we read the scripture, let me just say this. I realize that this is an age. I was out yesterday. Liz and I were out in the outlets yesterday, and we were walking. I noticed almost person to person, either on the phone or they were texting as they walk or reading a text. Now, here's what I think, and this is what I'm going to ask you to abide by this, is it's time for preaching. The world's not going to fall apart with your phone off. I don't sleep with my phone like some of you do. You have it by the bed every time, 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a text, you're up. Look at that thing. It's church time. It's time to do God's will. Unless it's an absolute emergency, I'm going to ask you to shut the phone off. You shouldn't be texting. You shouldn't be talking. You shouldn't be playing games on the phone. It's time for preaching. Amen? And let's honor God. Nothing's more important right now in the whole world than the preaching of God's word. And so please put your phones away and shut your phones off and so on. And if you don't, look, it's your loss. That's why I look at it. But I feel sorry for you that, you know, you're that addicted. Unless it's an emergency. Okay. Second of all, I want to ask you to pray for Manny, Juanita's brother. He's in the hospital. He had a fall. He's got some issues going on. And just pray for his full recovery. All right. If you do that. All right. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Notice that. That's the problem. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. See that. I mean, you should think about it. Meditate about that. Thou holdest mine eyes awaking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my heart, mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? What's the counterverse to that? I will never, amen. What? Nor forsake thee. That's right. And will he be favorable no more? In his mercy, is his mercy clean gone forever? Did this promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. Of course not. I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High, the blessings he's speaking of. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of my doings. What's he doing right now? He's getting his eyes off himself, his problems, and he's meditating on God. Should I close the service right now? Somebody's saying yes. All right. Verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God of that doeth wonders. Thou shalt declare thy strength among thy people. The people thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob, Joseph, Selah. Think about it. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, and the lightnings lightened the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Thy ways is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Thank you. May be seated. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs on an article about depression. Depression occasionally is the result of a bodily misfunction or reaction, a thyroid condition. Everyone has a thyroid condition. an infection, hormonal imbalance, a reaction to a medication, so forth. Depression persists, a physician should be consulted to diagnose and treat any organic cause of depression. True medical conditions of this kind, however, are seldom the cause of depression we encounter in our lives. True medical conditions of this kind, however, are seldom the cause of depression we encounter in our lives. Too often, though, even when no organic cause is identified, some physicians will prescribe an antidepressant as the primary intervention. In some cases, the antidepressant drugs do moderate depression, but drugs may also mask the real cause of the problem, mishandle problems of living. Unless such problems are addressed biblically, the medication has to be maintained just to keep patients emotionally stable. When the cause of depression is mishandled problems, there's a better way of dealing with the down feelings. All right. Now, one man said, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, 15% of American adults ages 18 to 74, 20 million people suffer from the various forms of depression each year. Statistics show that they are as many women as men are affected. A third of all adult women have been diagnosed to be depressed, and even some have committed suicide. One out of every 10 people will need professional help. Depression has been identified as a leading cause to teenage suicide attempts. Dr. Walter Freeman states that depression is a sustained chronic mood of sadness, despondency, and discouragement, resulting in difficulty in concentrating, slowing of thought, memory impairment, irritability, and excessive response to small annoyances. So some of you are saying, I'm depressed. But we don't have to be. We don't have to be. He said, well, I think it's personality. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. All right? And just stay with me on this. First of all, depression is universal. It's not just unique to you or to New Yorkers or to Americans. It's universal. And it's found throughout the world. It's a respect of no respect of persons, rich, poor, and all nationalities. Second of all, depression is unrelenting. It can be merciless. Depression affects and infects all areas of our lives. Consider Moses. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 15, kill me, I pray thee. Ha. Wow. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, 4, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Jonah said it in Jonah 4, 3, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now notice David says here in verse 2, he says, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. So there was weeping and refused to be comforted. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. So he's guilty over some sin, and he adds murmuring, complaining to the rest of his sins. Verse 4, he's so depressed he cannot sleep or talk. Verse 4, that thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled I cannot speak. Verse 5, he's dwelling on past sins. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse 6, he addresses here, especially at night, his introspection increases. So now he's really troubled in his soul. He's looking inwardly. The Bible says, seek that which is above. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God. That's where we should be looking for all things. But he's looking inwardly. And guess what happens? He really gets depressed. Why? We're corrupt. We fall short. We fail. Well, just like Paul said in Romans 7, as a saved person, the things I would do, I don't do. That which I shouldn't do, that do I. Last place you want to look is inwardly. You talking about Depression City? That's where it's at. Verse 7, he's worried about being cast off from God. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Verse 8 and 9, his thinking is wrong concerning the Lord and his promises. Look at verse 8. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Now what's the answer to that? No. His mercy is new every day. Does His promise fail forevermore? No! God cannot lie. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Has God forgotten? Has God forgotten the great I Am, the Eternal One? The One who is gracious and kind and merciful, who is long-suffering? Has He forgotten to be gracious? You want to use some words to describe God? That's one of them. A God of grace. He said, hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy, Selah? Of course not. Verse 10, He started on the solution to His depression by recognizing it is how it's caused. He said in verse 10, He says, and I said, this is my infirmity. But I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Ah, now victory is coming. Because he's thinking about God, not himself. And all of a sudden things start turning up. Notice over in Psalm 32, you put that $100 bill there to mark Psalm 77 that you should put in the offering. And let's look at Psalm 32. And notice, if you would, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. But day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Now here's what happened. Let's go back to Psalm 77. We see here where David again, he has victory. Now notice verse 11 and 20. He remembers the works of God, the salvation, His holiness, the majestic power of God. And therein lies victory. Let me say this to you as plain as I can, beloved. Now, there are people who are lost and they have a good life. But they don't have a good life by chance, by crossing the thing, by luck. There's no such thing. They have a good life, they made some good choices. Isn't that what life is filled with? Good choices? You make good choice, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. You make good choices, you're going to reap good benefits from it. And lost people can have a wonderful life in a lot of ways, but it's limited because it's without the Lord. It only goes so far. Only goes so far. They may have a good marriage, a good family, maybe a good job. They may have a life of blessings, but it only goes so far. It's still under the sun. It's still vanity. Vanity is all is vanity. But with God, you have to make some right decisions if you're going to have total victory. So let's look first of all at the causes of depression. And first of all, there's three types of depression. There's anxiety depression. This is usually caused by fear of being found out. That could be a problem. And punishment by the Lord, others, or by both. For committed sins. Anxiety results also from being double-minded. Now, what do I mean by that? Double-minded. It speaks of, oh, I believe God, I'm saved, I trust the Lord, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to solve the problem. I don't know how it's going to happen. Whoa, 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 whoa. What, Jesus saved you from hell? Is He not Lord of your life? Does He know the number of hairs on your head? Do you know? Honestly, Marcus, do you know how much hair is on your head? God does. But you're going to worry about it because that's going to solve the problem. And you don't even know how much hair is on your head. Now, don't let me find out later on this week that you've been staying up all night counting the hair on your head. All right? Because something's going to fall out as soon as you brush in the morning. If you do. God loves you more than you love you. God cares about us. So He wants to be Lord of all. And the reason you go through these trials is to get you to trust Him implicitly. I can't. No, you won't. Don't say you can't. God would not command us to do something we cannot do. Amen? You don't find any commandments in the Bible of eating like a giraffe. Walk around eating the tops of trees. Can't do it. Unless you climb the tree, but you can't eat like a giraffe then. God doesn't ask you to swim in the water for hours at a time like a fish. But what he does command us, we can do. I can do all things through Christ, which... That's it. That's who has the strength in you, not your own strength. Because your own strength is weak. And that's why some of you are depressed, is anxiety, depression. Because you're double-minded. One minute, it's, amen, trust the Lord, praise God. I don't know what God's going to help us. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to her? You like my imitations? Second of all, there's anger depression. This is anger that is not vented on a victim, often turns to bitterness, and then is directed inward at the one self as a frustration and depression. So what happens is someone offends you and you allow yourself to be a victim. I can't believe they did that to me. It's life, beloved. People are going to be offensive. I mean, I've had people curse me out on the road. I've had people cut me off. I've had people, I've had people say mean things to me, written me mean letters. I mean, what do you do? I don't hold offenses to them. I have the attitude, Father, forgive them. I know not what they do. And then, just in case, Father, forgive me, I may not know what I'm doing. Amen? You have a preacher, you cut them off. Well, it wasn't the first time, won't be the last time. I usually try not to cut people off. But it happens. It does. You know, it happens when people say mean things to you, but you're not to be angry. Because anger will be turned inward, and then you'll develop depression. And when Jonah 4:9, when the Lord caused the gourd to wither, Jonah says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Over the death of a gourd? What was he lacking? Right thinking. Here he could care less about the people in Nineveh, whether they went to hell or not. But he was broken up about the gourd. Talking about a guy not thinking right. How twisted was his thinking? Amen? I saw a commercial recently on TV about, they play this dopey music, make you start crying, looking at the dogs like, you're sad. This dog is sad. This cat is sad. And they're talking about how much they care. We're going to fight for their rights. And I'm saying, what do you think about abortion? See how twisted people are? Right? Thinking wrong. And I'm not for animal cruelty. Not for that at all. But animals are animals. They're not humans. Even in your family. Because that's what you're just thinking. Well, my dog, he sits at the table with us, Something like that. How sick is that? Amen? That's the way people are. It's my little baby, sleep with them, Bad enough that kids come into bed at night. Right? There's Ash and Rebecca. No, just kidding. But anyway, I locked the door, let me tell you. Amen? I locked it when they were young. Ash was the last of the Mohicans trying to sleep with us. And I think at age of 3 or 4, I said, you're done. You come in here, I don't care what time it is, I'm going to paddle you. See, Ashley's always been the smart one. So she said, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not going to mom and dad's bed because dad's word means something. I would have. You look at me like I'm some monster. Here they are 20 years old. Move over, dad. I'm coming in to sleep with you again. Oh, really? Are you crazy? What do you think I bought a bed for? For guests, it's for you. You didn't know that? Then there's withdrawal depression, which some of you have probably experienced once you stop sleeping with your parents. This is the worst of the depression. With this, there's a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. An example of this was the man Elijah. Now, his victory on Mount Carmel was great. I mean, he slew the prophets of Baal. God's fire fell on the place, slew the prophet of Baal. There was great victory for Israel. And then all of a sudden, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill him. And what does Elijah do? He runs for his life. Maybe he cut off too many heads. I don't know. Kind of got to him. I don't know. I don't know if I never had to go through anything like that. But after you know, he does his great feat, believing God, setting up the altar. Baal's prophets are done, pouring water on them. He says about a 20-word prayer, and all of a sudden fire comes from heaven, destroys the sacrifice, licks up the water. I mean, all of Israel said, I believe. Great victory. Then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill him. And he goes running, hiding. Only I am standing for God. God told him, 7,000 have not bowed in their knee to Baal. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. He cries out, Lord, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Well, that's understood, but you shouldn't have to die over that. Now, the cause of depression, first of all, is physical. Sometimes it's anemia, lack of iron, low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, childbirth. Some women have problems at the childbirth. Nothing that minerals could not help. Seriously. Nothing minerals, exercise could not solve. There's environmental causes, seasons, you know, Christmas. How many people get depressed on Christmas Day? You know, they shot the wad, everything's gone, everything's been opened. Some people didn't say thank you. Some people complained about the gift. Now you're all depressed. You know, you're sitting there eating stuffy, you know, trying to get over the whole thing. There's seasons, New Year's. You know, what a great song. How does that song go? Auld Lang Syne, is that it? Yeah, I mean, that's depressing. Should be a happy song. New Year's is here! Hey! Oh, let's end it here. How about dull colors? People painting their house all gray. That's not a good color. Black. That's not a good color. Now, if you have that, I don't know. How about music? That can cause sadness. You know, that's what made the Carpenters famous back in the 70s. All the breakup songs. And there you are, you've broken up with 5 girlfriends or 6 boyfriends or whatever. And you're sitting there listening to Karen Carpenter. This is terrible. Sometimes it's a lack of light. That's true. It's good to have light, especially in the wintertime. Vitamin D, very important, especially if you're stuck in the house all the time. Vitamin D is very healthy for you. Places like Scotland and Canada, Alaska, where it's, you know, dark every day, you need light. And vitamin D is excellent for that. But get out in the sunlight. Take a walk. Bundle yourself up and get out and, you know, walk to the mailbox or something. Then there's 3 main causes. Sometimes depression comes because you're physically worn out. And I've advocated this before. Get out of town. Go somewhere. Go across the river. Go to New Jersey. Go to some diner over there. Amen? Get a big hamburger or something. So I'm trying to lose weight. You'll lose it. Just eat the hamburger and be happy. Moses, he was so burdened because all of his responsibilities. Elijah, he had gone without food and had to run about 30 miles to Jezreel to escape, Jezebel. And then there was Jonah. He had been in the belly of a whale. Now, that's not very happy. It's dark in there, no windows, you know, no refrigerator, no music. He's sitting in whale acid. And then on all things, he gets thrown up. Thanks a lot. You know, he winds up on the beach, and you imagine the scene. He has whale vomit all over him, and then he's rolling in the sand. You know? So he's talking about depression. You know? Go get back in the water and just stay away from that whale. Sometimes you get emotionally worked up. Moses emotionally was stripped down, dealing with 2.5 million people. Now, you think you're burdened because you work with 3 people on your job. I'm not going to do anything. He had 2.5 million. I like to say something, I'd be called a racist for it, which I could care. But anyway, his problem was others. He needed to learn to delegate. We need to learn to delegate. Some of you mothers are not only a wife to your husband, mother to your children, but you're the maid. Here's your teenage son still not hanging up his clothes. Why are you hanging? What are you doing not to do with them? Teach him. Start off with helping tie his shoes. Stop with the Velcro. Amen? And then teach him. Beloved, I was allowed to live that way. We had this crazy chair in our house. It was a high chair. It was made of wood, but had metal legs. You remember that, Liz? Growing up. Yeah. Had a back to it. You know what that was for me? About a week's worth of clothes. I just piled them up. The closet within 5 steps of me. There are hangers everywhere. But I was going to lay them down. You know where I got cured? I don't send your son into the Air Force, but that's where I was cured. Amen. I'll never forget the second day of being in the Air Force. Somehow, some way, I woke at 6 o'clock, and I don't think I ever did that unless I was going mass with my father, and he'd come in and stand over me. You awake? You awake? John, you awake? I'm awake, Dad. Come on, sit up. We're going to mass. We didn't go to mass. We went to the harbor, which was fine with me. I got more of the harbor than I get out of mass. You know, I looked at the sailboats. My father was in his glory. And right as people are letting out, I mean, every time they're just coming out the doors, we're going to Otto's Bakery, getting some crullers, danishes, and all the other good things, bad things, whatever. But anyway, the point is this, is that I instead of hanging my clothes. So the second day I was in the Air Force, I don't know if you expand this, Randy, or you other guys. I just happened to open my eyes. I don't know, it was 5 or 6 in the morning. I don't remember. And the guy at the first bed, I was the second bed in, which I'm so thankful for. All of a sudden, the TI, I'm watching him. He grabs the bottom of the bed, the rod right there, the side of the bed, and he starts yelling, get up, get up, get up, get up. And all of a sudden, the guy goes flying. Well, guess what I was? I was in there. I was ready for anything, sir. Just don't throw me out of bed. The point is this, beloved, is that, look, there's going to be problems in life. There's going to be difficulties in life. There's going to be situations in life that we are not to allow them to affect us. And here Jonah had a pouting problem. He's complaining. Elijah had a pity problem. And Moses had a people problem. Spiritually, they were run down. That's the main thing. And there was depression from guilt. They're not keeping a short list of their sins. There's bitterness, hatred, negative thinking, self-pity, upsetting themselves over the events, a lack of goals, things like this. And it's all introspective. Let me tell you something. I want to ask you, I've asked other people this before. God knows everything about us. There's nothing we can hide from God. Amen? But does God tear you apart like you tear you apart? Chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. There's not a one. I just showed you this morning in the preaching that he was looking past their failures and complimenting on their continuing with him. We need to think right. Amen. We need to think right. Well, preacher, I've done some bad things. Well, I'm glad you're miserable over it. Your only hope is Christ. Amen? Your only hope is Jesus. You're not going to work it out by smoking a marijuana joint or taking pills or drinking or dancing the night away, or whatever you're going to do. It's not going to work that way. It doesn't happen that way. We're not wired that way. Now, Barry, I'm going to ask you real quick. You said there were 700 volts or something?
750 volts.
And what is that for?
It's what powers the electrical motor.
Okay. This is really going to sound stupid probably to you, but I'm actually, could I plug that into my house anywhere?
No.
If I plugged into one of my wall outlets, what would happen? Say what?
It's going to blow up.
What's going to blow up?
Whatever you
try
to plug in, and you
probably. And me. All right. Would it cause a fire in my house?
Explosion.
Michael, you concur? All right. Why? My house wasn't wired for that. We're not wired for sin. God never meant us to carry our sin, to carry the burdens of sin. That's why the world, as much as they say, oh, Christians, they have a crush at Jesus. They are so self-deceived. They take their drink, their wine. They take their dope. They take their gambling, their immorality, their pornography, all the things of the world to try to relieve themselves of pressure and guilt. And they just get deeper in their guilt. Oh, but I have a crutch because I know Jesus. He has set me free. And if the Son set you free indeed. I'd rather have that than be doping myself up all the time. Amen? Now, spirituality, they were run down. Adam had, but Moses felt the pressure of the congregation, the complainers. Elijah had gone from a great victory to a great letdown. Jonah went from leading the greatest revival in Nineveh, involving the whole city, to needing a personal revival in his own heart. So these are causes of depression. Causes. Then there's a consequence, the three stages of depression. There's discouragement, which is mild. I let myself down again. Well, this is not the last time. It's not the last time. I said to myself, Liz, hold your ears, please. I said to myself, I had my wife begged me not to have any macaroni and cheese today. Ashley comes in, doing the devil's work, and she brings in a salad and macaroni and cheese. But I could have said, no, honey, Mom said not to, and so on. But the spoon made me do it. John, you saw me. I only had two little teaspoons. And I did it not to offend Ashley. Anyway, discouragement can be mild. Despondency, serious. And despair, severe. And that's what happens. Those are the steps. It muddles the mind when these things happen. Next thing you know, we have symptoms of resentment, anger, bitterness at ourselves or others. There's self-pity. There's decision-making is poor. And so on. This is what happens with depression. Next thing you know, it burdens the body. There's symptoms. There's apathy, appetite. The appearance can become unkept. Some people start, they don't care what they look like. They're combing their hair, not brushing their teeth. They're not washing because they're depressed. They don't care. It erodes the emotions. The symptom is sadness, sorrow, sometimes loneliness. They say, I just want to be myself. That's the worst thing to do. You're depressed. You don't want to be by yourself. Get yourself around your family. Someone who loves you and cares about you to help you get out of this rut you're in. I want to be alone. So they sit in their room, they stare, and they just keep thinking over and over. It's like a broken record. Over and over, they keep looking. Oh, it's still there. I'm still depressed. Well, you're not to be looking inward. We find it soils the spirit. The symptoms are ingratitude and unbelieving. Ingratitude. They're not thankful. Not thankful because they find that one thing that they didn't get or one thing that they wanted to have, and they're unthankful. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You see what God has done. Then it tarnishes the testimony. Outwardly, you're of no use in witnessing for Christ. Let me tell you the good news what Jesus did for me. I'm depressed. Well, that's great. That's great. That's the resurrection power. You say, preacher, you're being sarcastic. You're right. Because you don't have to live this way. Especially a child of God. We don't have to live this way. And then the lost, they don't have any choice unless they come to Christ. It fouls the family. Discouragement is the first step that leads to depression. And next thing you know, it affects the family. Oh, dad is down. Oh, mom, this is, every couple of months, mom gets down in the dumps. It corrupts the church. Many have the wrong disposition in the church. They become depressed. I can't help it. I'm depressed. So on. Amen. Tell me you spent some time with the Lord today. That's why you're depressed? Or you've been reading His Word? That's why you're depressed? No, you haven't been doing that. That's why you're depressed. It minimizes our ministries. Three men of God limited what God could have done through them because they were depressed. And here's the cure to depression. I want you to listen closely. First of all, physically, Moses needed reinforcements. He chose 70 of Israel's best men and called on them to share the load that Moses was carrying. Sometimes, beloved, and I say this to them, the fathers and mothers in the family, you need to sit down and have a family talk. I'm not talking about like Tim and Alexis with two little boys. Although Jack can start picking up his toys. Alexis shouldn't be picking up his toys. He should be doing the best he can. Sometimes parents do. They just pick up their kids all the way through. Next thing you know, they're 30 years old. They're still picking up after them. That has got to stop. Your children, after a meal, ought to put the plate in the sink. They ought to clean up their room. They ought to clean up after they're done in the restroom. Make sure the sink's washed out so toothpaste isn't everywhere and on the mirror. Amen? Pick up their dirty clothes or they leave them in the bathroom. That is not the mother's job once they get to a certain age. And some of you mothers are running yourself ragged. You aren't working outside the home, working and laboring in the home. Your kids get older, they should take care of themselves. Amen? Elijah needed a refreshment. He wore himself out. What did God do with Elijah? He had him go sleep. Sometimes it's good to get out of town and just sleep. Oh, preacher, I got these kids. Get a babysitter. Leave with your mom. That's one way of getting back at her. Amen? Just kidding. Just kidding. Elijah needed rest. He needed some food. And that's what God did with him. He let him sleep. The angel woke up, have some of this, and go right back to sleep. He wore himself out. Jonah needed relief. Jonah 4:6, the Bible tells that the Lord seemed to cut him loose and relieve him of any pressing duties. He needed a break. You know, preaching can affect you in so many ways. And mostly, God gave Moses power. Let's look at these verses here. Randy, would you go to Numbers 11, verse 17, and also 23. Numbers 11, 17, and 23. Bruce, would you go to 1 Kings 19, verse 18, please? And then, let me see here. We'll just do those two. All right. So, mostly, God gave Moses power. Numbers 11, verse 17, and verse 23, please. All right. So he gave Moses power. He relieved him of some of the unnecessary duties that Moses placed upon himself. His yoke was heavy. God's yoke is light. And then God gave Elijah a partner in 1 Kings 19 and verse 18. Bruce? Amen. What kind of dude was Elijah? 12 yoke of oxen? He's plowing with them? I don't think many men could do that with 12 yoke of oxen. He was out there, and what did God do? God's such a good God, he gave him a friend. Someone to take his ministry over later on. We find here that God gave Elijah a partner. He said, Elijah, let me tell you, the 7,000 have not bowed their knee yet. You're not alone in this. And then he gives a man like Elisha. God gave Jonah perspective. Jonah became emotionally involved with a plant, a gourd. Now, I can envision some of our people here doing that. Oh, the poor gourd. It's dying. All right, there's trash cans everywhere in this building. There's a big dumpster if you don't want to put it in the trash can. What's the big deal? A gourd is nice. It's nothing. It's nothing. Although I liked it as a kid to shake them when the seeds were in there dried and all that stuff, but it's nothing. And he's overlooking the souls of Nineveh. So God helped Jonah with a perspective. Spiritually, God loved them in their failure. And notice, if you're depressed today, that doesn't change God's love for you. You say, I wish God delivered from me. He will when you take the right steps. All right. So let's just give it an illustration here. You close your finger in the door. I wish God would just deliver me. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You want God to open the door? What should you do? Someone tell me. Open the door. Sometimes, beloved, we've got to step our way out. God shows the way, but we've got to make steps. He's not going to force us. God's not a Calvinist. We're not Calvinists. He's just going to make it happen. We make choices. To be saved, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your choice. You don't choose to believe on Him, then you're going to wind up going to hell if you don't get saved. That's your choice, not God's choice. He's not willing any should perish. All us come repentance. We get ourselves into sin. God's not going to swoop down and just take us out. He wants steps. What's the first step? Humble yourself. Turn to God. Don't cover your sin. Confess your sin. We confess our sin. He is what? Faithful. Just. To forgive us all our sins. That's the God of the Bible. So He loves us in our failure. God accepted them in their weakness. You don't hear God complaining about it. What's wrong? What is wrong with Moses? That's not like that. Concern about Moses. Burden for Moses. Then God used them again. Isn't that great? God used them again. God will use you again. If you just follow the steps that God gives us. And here are the practical steps to overcome depression. First of all, salvation or confessing known sin. That's the reason you're in depression, because of sin. That's it. Oh, no, it's my personality. I lean to that. It's sin. Well, I'm melancholy. It's sin. Don't be melancholy. Well, I can't help it. It's sin. The same promises, commandments are given to all of God's children, regardless of their emotional state. It's sin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, so the Bible says. Lean not unto thine own what? Ah, there's our problem. Instead of trusting the Lord, we lean on our own. Oh, I remember my great-great-grandfather back in Europe. Oh, he was a depressed man. I can't help it. Baloney. Baloney. You should know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now, you want to think right, you want to be like your great-grandfather, go for it. But it's going to be the same process. You've got to either be saved or you've got to confess your known sin. You've got to walk in the Spirit. If I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust. That's what it is. I want to feel sorry for me. I have it so hard. Oh, it's so terrible. Beloved, if you live in America, you live in the best land in all the world. I know we have problems. I know we have problems. You live in the best land in all the world. You like to be in Russia? How'd you like to be the guy who messed up the round circle? Where in Siberia is he right now? Huh? How'd you like to be one of the Russians going for a gold and you wind up without a medal? You know, how deep are you buried in the sand? Amen? Well, America has a problem. I agree with you. But not like Russia yet. Amen? How would you like to live in the jungles of some nation in Africa or in South America? People still live primitive lives. I like indoor plumbing. I like air conditioning. I like fans. Amen? I don't want to have to sleep there at night wondering what's flying in my room. Amen. So the idea of walking in the Spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You need to walk according to the Word. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And what's the next verse? The next part. In the life I now live, I live. You have to say it louder. Right? And why? Because He loved me. God loves me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the Word of God. That's so important to understand. I'm going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I am crucified with Christ. He says in chapter 5. So, again, the importance of walking in the Spirit, walk according to the Word of God. The importance of serving others. When we're depressed, we're not serving others. We're self-serving. And then quick to forgive. You got to be quick to forgive. You say, well, what if they don't apologize? Still forgive them. Why should you carry around that poison? Now, relationship may not be right. The person ought to apologize if they offended you. But the bottom line is this, is that you forgive them. And then renew your mind. Get in the Word of God. If you can't read at that time, then listen to it. You know, I just talking to Frank Albani, and he told me that he ordered the, did you get them yet, the CDs, New Testament? Not yet? He's getting, he wants to listen to it on the way to school, on the way to work, and so on. How wise is that? A new convert? You know, flooding your soul, renewing your mind, transforming your mind. That's so important. Renew your mind. Think right. Think good thoughts. Think about the promise of God. Think about one day you're going to be in heaven. Amen? Don't allow the devil to defeat. Don't defeat yourself. And then last of all, I want to say physically, it's good to eat right. It's good to exercise. You say, I'm too old to exercise. How old are you? 29. Oh, come on. Come on. Go out for a walk. Get on a bike. And then I'm talking about a motorbike. I'm talking about a bike. Go exercise somewhere. Go pound some weights. Do some jumping jacks. Amen? I didn't think so. But anyway, that'll help you. Get outside. Get out and go out. Get out of the house. Saturday, the mall, the outlet was packed. Both sides out in Riverhead. Why? It was a nice day. People want to get out of the house because of the difficult winter we've had. That's a good thing. Get out. If you stay in a recluse atmosphere situation, you're going to help yourself. And then claim the promises of God. They're for you. They're for me. There's no reason to be depressed. You say, preacher, are you ever depressed? Well, my wife would testify to this. It's not my personality as much as my belief of the Word of God. I could be down in the dumps at times, but I don't allow myself to. Why? Because I try to adhere to these principles. God's Word is true. One of these days, beloved, those of us who are saved and we're taken out of this world, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. Isn't that great? So this is the worst it's going to get, please. It's not hell. This is our hell, but it's not hell. We have a great future ahead of us. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us. And we have grace that is sufficient for the day. Give us this day our daily bread, not only physically, but give us spiritual bread. Give us Your grace every day. Help me to deal with the problem. Help me deal with the situation. Help me deal with my marriage, my family, myself. Help me be what You want me to be. Fill me with Your Spirit. Give me wisdom so I can do the right thing, so I don't have to be in this situation. Let's all stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one look around. And if you respond, first of all, I think that's a good thing. I think it's always good.